Although he uses the word spiritual son in chapter 1 and chapter 2, there is a progression from chapter 1 to chapter 4. See, in chapter 1, he looks at Timothy's past, Timothy's mother and grandmother who were believers in God. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3, he says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, that without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers, night and day. Really designed to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. And his title to Timothy is in verse 2, to Timothy, my beloved son. It's nice to have spiritual sons. And I have lots of spiritual sons. Some are almost as old as me. And in chapter 1, he speaks about him being a son. In chapter 2, he brings him into another realm. And look at chapter 2, verse 15. Although he begins in chapter 2, verse 1, with my son, but he continues to bring him into a deeper realm in chapter 2, verse 15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So from a son, he now speaks about a worker. And then in chapter 3, he now speaks in a different manner. Let's look at chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, implying Timothy, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So from son to worker to man of God, and in chapter 4, he says in his last few exhortation in verse 5, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And the fourth stage, he emphasizes the fivefold office that Timothy stands in. Now, Timothy also stands in two other offices, in the office of a pastor and an apostle, and here in the office of a teacher and an apostle, and also here as an evangelist. Almost the same like Paul that we see in chapter 1. And so he's emphasizing that Timothy must do the work of an evangelist. In other words, identify his fivefold office and complete it. There is a certain progression that we will trace through. From a son, chapter 1, chapter 2, a worker, chapter 3, the man of God, chapter 4, the evangelist, or we shall put it generally, the fivefold ministry. Whether it be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, so that that truth can apply to any one of us called into any one of those offices. At the same time, in these four chapters, he gives us a clue when he speaks about certain people in a negative sense or in an opposing sense. each chapter he mentions some people positively, some negatively. So here in chapter 1, he mentions Onesiphorus positively in verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. There's a good man that here Paul was about to go home and he remembered all the goodness that this man has done to him. May we have many, many more Onesiphorus. Although I don't have a member in my church called Onesiphorus, but there are a lot of people who are like Onesiphorus. And here's one more good name that people seldom take. There are a few names I'm looking for in the body of Christ. Agabus, Onesiphorus. We have a lot of Peter, Paul, Timothy. Very few Onesiphorus, right? And possibly because it's kind of long. And if he were in my church, I'd probably call him Mr. Oni. Onesiphorus, right? For us Asian, it's sometimes very hard to pronounce, right? And the Asians, they pronounce it very differently, right? Mr. Onesiphorus, right? So, that's a good man. That's a very good man. We need lots of men like that. But then he also remembers a few people who were like enemies to him, or who have failed, in verse 15. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, among whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. Phygelus and Hermogenes. So you say, these people have turned away from me. So there is this group of people he spoke. Two of them he mentioned by name. And here he is about to go home and he remembers all these things. But I believe he was inspired by the Holy Spirit to put those names there. The reason is, those names are a picture of the opposite of what he's trying to say in this chapter. And they are there to give us a certain outline. Just as we see an outline of son, worker, man of God, and evangelist. A progression. So the names will give a clue. Let's go to the other names, and when we hit the third one, then you see it's very much more obvious. In chapter 2, there is no name mentioned except for Timothy calling him my son in a positive sense. But there's a particular name that also stands out in verse 17. And their message was spread like cancer. See, Paul invented the Greek word for cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort. So there's a second category, names and Philetus. And they did something that is different from the first group. But what they did contrasts with the positive things Paul was trying to bring forth in chapter 2. See, this is what I call a Bible survey. And we are trying to point to themes that are in the Word that will give you clues and spades and shovels to dig deeper into the Word. Once you see the general outline and backbone, it's easy to fit the flesh in and the jigsaw puzzle. Now in chapter 3, there are two guys in verse 8. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith. That's an important revelation. Nowhere in the whole canon of the officially accepted scriptures are the names Jannes and Jambres recorded at all. Where did Paul get those names? From the Jewish tradition and from some of the other Jewish writings that were there. The names Jannes and Jambres are mentioned, and they are the two magicians who oppose Moses. If you remember when Moses came from the wilderness with his rod, then he stood in Pharaoh's palace and he threw the rod down. And the rod fell down, became a snake, and then Pharaoh's magician also threw their rods down. We were not told what their names were, but the Apostle Paul mentioned that their names were Jannes and Jambres. And they also threw their rods down, and Moses' rod ate all their rods. So they went rodless. They needed those rods to do their magic tricks. And Moses literally wiped them out. I've always wondered whether after that Moses' rod was heavier or not. We never know. Right? So, the mention of that name gives us a clue. Because Jannes and Jambres were using evil powers to contrast or conflict against or oppose Moses. Now, we realize that many of those from Western civilizations don't understand. And it's only people like Peter Wagner, who did church growth studies in Fuller Theological Seminary, who understood this realm that is quite common among us in the East and Asians, that we know that spirit realm that Western civilizations that largely based on Plato and the Greek philosophy tends to neglect. It becomes a dualistic point of view rather than a trichotomous view of philosophy. And that there is a realm. Perhaps some of you who are here may not even have seen it, but there is a realm in the demon power where the, what do I call them, witch doctors or the mediums could call upon spirits because they already make a sort of covenant with those spirits, and those spirits come and manifest in animals, frogs, snakes, all those sort. And we have quite a few testimonies of people who actually confronted those things. And it's not natural because it can even come like a bat or any of these horrifying looking animals. And their appearance is sudden and their disappearance is sudden, and there's no natural way they come and go. Those are what I call demonic manifestations. It is in the realm of demonic, in the realm of demon. And demons can materialize. Not all demons can do it. See, each demons also got different powers and different abilities. But there is a particular group of demons that can materialize. And it takes someone in the alternate, or what I call the evil spirit realm, to yield quite close into that realm to be able to tap on that and utilize these demon powers. So, it is in that realm, I believe, that Jannes and Jambres somehow were able to cause the snakes to manifest and challenge Moses. But the truth of it here is this, that they represent evil powers. And who did Moses represent? God's power. And in chapter 3, Paul was trying to say that signs and wonders. Moses had three signs given to him by God. Signs and wonders come at stage 3. In chapter 3. And if you look carefully through them, he tells you keys to move into the signs and wonders. That's in chapter 3. It's important for us to understand why the names are mentioned, because all those are clues to dig deeper into the scripture. Well, we are not teaching chapter 3 yet. Let's go on chapter 4. We're just doing the outline. We will do it, okay, afterwards. Chapter 4.